539. However, before we sing, or actually it's going to be as we sing, we're going to do something, so I'm going to give you the instructions now. We have all the rest of the outlines. Please come, brothers, please come. Four on this side, four on that side. Some of you, in your packet today, you got all the outlines, right? Some of you, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. The others said no because they didn't know that you got the outlines. How many of you got the outlines? All the whole thing, 15 outlines. Okay. Now, the rest of you, we're going to give them to you right now. So if you don't have all the outlines, you only have outline one, look in your booklet now and raise your hand and the serving saints will, please hand them out. Start handing them out. Yeah, just hand them out to all those who don't have. Yes. Okay? Please double check. Okay, dear saints, actually, you don't need to talk. You just need to look in your folder. And if you only have outline one, raise your hand. That's all. You don't need to talk. You don't need to talk. The only talk that you should do is to say thank you to the brother who gives you the outline. Okay? While that's being accomplished, let's sing 539.
Amen.
Can you do both? Can you sing and raise your hand? And then take and say thank you as you're singing? Go. Oh Lord, thou art in me as life and everything to me. Let's stay sitting down, stay sitting down. And available the sight, experience thee. Oh Lord, thou art the Spirit.
Thank you.
in this song, it says, hold on, sorry. In this song, in this the chorus of this song, it is written, how I admire thy marvelous availability. But we often change it, you may have heard spontaneously, people change it to what?
Enjoy.
Enjoy. But tonight, I'm going to ask you to sing it admire. First, admire. Because that's my first burden, admire. Later, we'll sing it, enjoy, enjoy. Okay, let's sing it again. Now, feel free to stand up and do whatever. We just wanted you to make sure we passed out that properly. So, how about Brothers, verse 1.
Amen.
And we'll sing the chorus together.
Lord, thou art in me as life and everything to me, conceptive and available, thus I expect.
Sisters, together!
Lord, thou art the Spirit,
sisters, to all my needs, great and small, the rich supply, ready, sufficient for me now to apply all together.
Oh Lord, thou art the Spirit, how dear and near,
oh dear and near.
Admire thy marvelous availability.
Verse 3.
Anointing with thy blood is thus sustained by thy supply. Dear and near to me,
how I admire
thy marvelous availability.
The chorus.
Oh Lord, thou art the Spirit, how dear and near to me. How I admire thy marvelous.
If you know it by heart, you can put your books down.
Oh Lord, thou art the Spirit, how dear and near to me.
Admire. Amen. Amen. Maybe if we just sing this song for an hour, you would just have the burden of the message. Oh, Lord, thou art the Spirit. How dear. Don't go so fast. How dear. How dear. Oh, the Spirit. How dear. And near. How near. Something might be near, but might not be so dear. Here's Brother Dan. Brother Dan, what if we're not friendly to each other? He's too near. I get bothered by how near. But he's near. If he's not dear, I'm like... But Brother Dan is near and dear. Amen. And the Spirit is dearer and nearer. Then how I admire, and for on purpose, I want to highlight this word tonight, admire. I think maybe. Yeah, we're done, you can go. We may burst into song, but it's okay, we'll do it a cappella. But if we're going on longer, you just rush over and whatever. I have a concern that some of you, our dear young people, and you're really dear to us, may not admire enough the fact that the Lord is the Spirit. Tonight, I really would like you to admire this point. Or another word is to appreciate. You might start writing these words down. Admire and appreciate. Sometimes you receive something, some gift, and you enjoy it, you use it, but later on you learn more about it, what's behind it, what it took for that person to get it, to give it to you, and therefore you appreciate it little more. And that helps you enjoy it even more, or we might say in a deeper way. In our first lesson this morning, it was a kind of introduction to show you the matter of the two spirits. I think we're all clear what these two spirits are. What is the first spirit? The Holy Spirit, also the Divine Spirit, also what can we say? The life-giving Spirit. Actually, in this lesson, there are several titles of the Spirit. I would like you to take out your lesson book. And I have it on page 17, lesson 2. Your edition might be different, I don't know. Is it 17? Mm-hmm. Yep. Our outline, number 2, our outline, that is the one you just received or in your booklet, our outline is entitled The All-Inclusive Compound Spirit. But lesson 2 in the book is called what?
The All-Inclusive Spirit.
Okay, now please turn a few pages to lesson 3 on page 25. And what is that?
But
So our outline combines these two lessons. So in our fellowship tonight, we are trying to cover these two lessons, because we're trying to squeeze in all the lessons in these 10 days that we're together. Actually, we will, in our 10 days together, we will cover 23 of the 24 lessons in the book. Yeah, there's only one that we'll have to skip over temporarily, and we'll leave that for you to get into in your localities, and that's number 12, I think, number 12. We'll cover all the other lessons. So, go back to lesson 2. Please go back to lesson 2. And look at the outline in the book. Do you see that point 1? Let's read that together. The
progressive revelation of the divine spirit.
The progressive revelation of the divine spirit. What does that mean? That means that in the Bible, the unveiling of the Spirit is progressive. It's kind of in stages. It's not all at once. It's not all at once. Maybe I could do this. Can you help me? Yeah. Maybe I could do this. What did you write on your tag here? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Anyway, this is Rafael. Hi, Rafael. Okay. Let me check. Hold on. Yeah, it's good. It's clean. Okay. This is Rafael. Now, here. That's Rafael. Hey, buddy. ¿Cómo estás?
Bien.
Bien, bien, bien. Okay. So, I'm going to unveil Rafael. Ready? That's Rafael. Look up, man. Look up. That's his smile. See his smile? That's his smile. He has a nice smile, right? Doesn't he have a nice smile?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice smile. Sisters, don't say too much. Yeah, okay. And look, I'm going to unveil Rafael a little bit more, a little bit more.
Yay.
That's his nose. No comments about the nose, no comments. I'm going to unveil a little bit more. Oh. Hey. Okay. A little bit more. And then I'm going to unveil. Ta-ta! You know what that is? Progressive revelation. Thank you. You did that very well. Thank you. So, In the Bible, you see the Spirit on the first page of the Bible. But you don't see everything about the Spirit. So God's revelation of the Spirit is like that too in the Bible. Little by little. Until the last page of the Bible. The last chapter of the Bible. Very interesting. Did you know that the Spirit is mentioned in the first chapter of the Bible in Genesis? And the Spirit is mentioned in the last chapter of the Bible in Revelation. Did you know that? That's a good fact to know. Because that shows something important. You know, the Bible, how many books? 66. How many chapters in the Old? Huh? Chapters in the Old Testament. How many books in the Old Testament? Did I say chapters? How many books in the Old Testament? 30 what?
39.
39. And in the New Testament? Very good. How many chapters in the Bible? A lot? Come on, I ask you this almost every year. Say again. Sorry. 929 in the Old. Very good. In the New? I thought that's simpler. 260 in the Old, in the New. For a total of 1189. Do you love your Bible? Write that down. You should know. 1,189. How many verses in the Bible? Okay, we won't go that far. Do you know it? 30, well, listen, learn something. Go ahead. Well, could be. Depending on which original manuscript that you use, it could be 31,101, 31,103, or 31,175. Yeah. But anyway, 31,100 something. Did you get that? Okay. So, that's your Bible. Don't you love your Bible? You should know your Bible. Know your Bible. Okay. But my point is this. Among all these chapters and verses, God reveals himself. This book is his message to us so that we can know him. And in this book, it's very interesting. It starts with the Spirit of God. And it ends with the Spirit of God. Except in the first chapter, he's called the Spirit of God. And in the last chapter, he's called the Spirit. And we might think, oh, it's all about the same. Well, not exactly. Not exactly. And that's what we're going to learn about tonight. Okay, back to this outline in the book. Let's read the titles of the Lord, of the Spirit. Okay, let's just read through the whole list. A.
The Spirit of God.
B.
The Spirit of Jehovah.
C.
D. The Spirit being not yet.
E.
The Spirit of Jesus.
F.
The Spirit of Christ.
G.
The Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
No,
that's...
God.
No, stop there. That's text. I just want the titles. Okay. Let's read where it says text. The paragraph underneath. Sisters, would you please read that to us? We have seen.
We have seen that because God is spirit, he can reach man and enter into man. For God to get into man, however, was not a simple matter.
Oh, please highlight or underline that. For God to get into man was not a simple matter. I want you to appreciate this. I even want you to admire this tonight. Okay, sisters, continue, please.
The triune God went through a great process in order to send himself into us.
Please underline or circle or highlight these two words. Great process. Great process. And also the words, dispense himself into us. Dispense himself into us. Okay, please continue.
And we see this from the revelation of the Bible concerning her divine spirit.
Amen. Then we have Roman 1, the progressive revelation of the divine spirit. Brothers, could you read that next paragraph, please?
The revelation in the Bible concerning God, Christ, and the Spirit is progressive.
Actually, the revelation is progressive about all three. It's progressive about God. It's progressive about Jesus. And it's progressive about the Spirit. Right. Okay, please continue, brothers.
This revelation begins in Genesis 1 and develops progressively until it reaches its consummation in the book of Revelation.
Right, and we just mentioned that. Okay, let me just share a few things with you first. But before we get into the rest, This morning, we touched God's economy. God's economy. Did Brother Roger talk about oikonomia? Yeah, oikonomia. Could someone, anyone, just give us a sentence or two based on the message? What is God's economy? One of the students, not the TAs. One of the students. Yeah. Now, I'd rather have one of the 11th or 12th grade brothers.
Amen.
Or sisters to say something. 11th or 12th grade brothers or sisters. Please. Just in a simple word or two. I mean, a sentence or two. You're the seniors? You're the seniors here? Okay. Who could just say? You could even read it. It must be in your notes. Yeah. Yeah, go.
God's economy, oikonomia, is God's household administration. His plan is arrangement to distribute the food to the members of his household. So that's basically saying that he wants to dispense himself into us.
Right. Very good. Thank you. Okay. So God wants to dispense himself into us. This is his plan because his ultimate goal is to have an expression. He wants to be expressed through man, corporately. He wants to be expressed through man corporately. Well, this plan, it's revealed with through other verses, was motivated by love, because of his love for us. I think we all know this verse. Maybe it's the most famous verse in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone or whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So God has his love for us. And out of this love, he wants or wanted to join himself to man. I shouldn't say to man. He wanted to join himself to you. I don't know why. Why would God want to join himself to me? But this was his desire. He saw you, he saw me, he loved us, and he wants to join himself to us. And, actually I mentioned this to the junior high group this morning, I found out later on that God actually did a lot of things for me that I didn't realize till later. So that, one day I could know him. And he did a lot of things for you and in your life. And not only in your life, probably in your parents' life. Even arranging things. I told them this morning, I found out, to my great surprise, that something happened in 1898. I was not alive in 1898. Something happened in 1898 that affected my salvation. That because of that event in 1898, you know, there was a war in 1898. Anybody know that from your history? Yes. The Spanish-American War. And it affected this war, or the outcome of this war, affected a little island in the Caribbean Sea, or the Caribbean, depending how you like to say it. The island of Puerto Rico. How many of you have have ancestry from Puerto Rico? Okay. Then actually, you need to listen to this, because God did this for you too. Did you know that before that war, Puerto Rico belonged to Spain. And every territory owned by Spain, or that's under Spanish rule, became Catholic. Catholicism prevailed there. But this is not the main thing. When, after that war, the United States took over Puerto Rico. Some people think, that's not fair. We were under this flag, now we're under that flag. We like to have our own flag. Even till today, people fight about this. But the important thing is, and this affected some of you all, I know some of your families, that is that from that time forward, every Puerto Rican is an American citizen. And you can move around in the United States just like moving from Connecticut to New York. You can go from Puerto Rico to New York. So 50 years later, my father moved my family, I wasn't born yet, to New York City, to the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And do you know that less than 2 weeks later, someone came to preach the gospel to my mother? And that citizenship matter became very big as far as getting the gospel to my family. And some of you, it's exactly the same. Your families moved actually so that you could hear the gospel. You may not realize the Lord moves even countries and things just for people to be saved. So God, I found out later, did that for me. And if you would check your history, probably you would find out God did a lot of things for you and for your family. You know, actually quite a number of you, your family ancestry takes you back to mainland China. There's a lot of history. Oh, what the Lord has done to move things so that you could be here tonight. And is it interesting that from so many different places and backgrounds, God does all these things and we all end up in this room? That is God's love. But, and this is my point to say all this, just because God does so many things for you and loves you and wants you to know Him does not mean that you actually know Him. And does not mean that you actually appreciate what He's done. So, God created or put a spirit, this thing called the human spirit, into every human being so that they could know Him. They could contact Him. But just because you have a spirit, this still does not mean that you contact God. Because maybe either you don't use your spirit or you don't know how to use your spirit. You know, a little radio, a receiver. This is a kind of a receiver. Right here, this thing transmits things. I don't know how it works. I just know it works. I just know you turn it on, oop, it works. But you know a radio, if you have a radio, when you turn it on and you tune, what do you get? What could you get? Music. What kind of music? Any music. Like this station, very noisy. You know, boom, boom. Turn it to another station. Oh, my heart, I love you. Another station, classical. Another station, go! Sports. Another station, news. Probably bad news. News. But, you know, all that is going on here. right now. But you can't get it. You need a radio with something that works inside. You need that you call it? Huh? Receiver. You need a receiver inside. And then you need to tune. If you don't tune, what do you get? It's kind of annoying. You'd rather turn it off than to get static. And that's how many people are. You have a receiver, but you don't turn on. Maybe you turn on and it's... These 10 days, we want to help you tune so you can contact God, enjoy God, hear God, and see God face to face. So on one side, he built us a certain way so that we could receive him. On the other side, he actually went through a lot to become the Spirit. And that's what we're touching in this lesson. How did he reach us? How did he reach us? Because it you need both. I think that's the last point. Can you turn back to lesson one in your outline booklet? Point four. Let's read point 4AB. 4AB. Are you with me? In your outlines from this morning, outline one, not in the book, but in the booklet. Not in the book, but in your booklet, yes? Okay, let's read. Point 4 and 1-2. Go.
God's way to dispense himself into us is by passing through a process to become the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
Creating a human spirit within man.
Up to there. Those are the two great steps. The two great steps. And incidentally, your lesson book. Okay, we're not going to read more from it, but I just want to point out, your lesson book has 24 lessons, and after the introduction, lesson one that you had this morning, we have 11 lessons on the divine spirit. And then we have 12 lessons on the human spirit. Okay, that's how your book is constructed. So tonight, and with these coming lessons, we are kind of focusing now on the divine spirit. The divine spirit. And again, saints, I would say this. This is my burden. I hope you would admire how much the Lord passed through to reach you. Okay, now let's read from the outline. Romans 1. All together, please.
The Spirit, the all-inclusive process trying God, when all the aspects and elements of the Spirit are put together, we have a totality, a final product known in the New Testament as the Spirit.
Amen. Brothers, could you please read A? This last point, the sevenfold intensified spirit, is added to the list that we just read. I hope you would note that. Okay, then let's read B, sisters. The point that this is making is that in the Old Testament, you have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Jehovah, Spirit of Holiness. In the New Testament, you have the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Jesus Christ, all these titles. But when you put them all together, you just call it the Spirit. The Spirit. On one hand, it's very simple. On the other hand, I hope you realize it is all-inclusive. Hence the title, the All-Inclusive Spirit. Why is it important for us to know this? Well, I would say this would help us in our experience. In this way. The Spirit, I think it's listed here, the Spirit of Jesus is revealed, this title is revealed in a certain story in the book of Acts, in the New Testament. And that story is an example of the Apostle Paul being restricted over something. He was restricted. And this points us to the fact that the Spirit of Jesus, when in the Bible you see the Spirit of Jesus, it is emphasizing his humanity. His humanity. So when Paul experienced the Spirit of Jesus, he was experiencing something of the humanity of Christ. But in Christ's humanity, you have to realize his whole life was a life of being restricted. It really was a life of death. You know, Jesus, he did not come in incarnation as a mature man of 30 years old and start his ministry. He was born into a family, which up to that point was a pretty normal family. Of course, he was the oldest one. And do you know this fact that he had at least six brothers and sisters? How many of you knew that? Not too many. He was the oldest of six. The oldest of six. Of seven, sorry. Yeah, seven. Hey, just like, yeah. Did you know Brother Dan has seven children? He is the oldest of seven. Four boys and at least two girls. Could have been more, actually. It's just that it talks about his sisters, plural, so we say at least two. Could have been more. And he was the oldest one. How many of you are the oldest one in your family? How many of you have ever been in your whole life at least one time annoyed by your younger brothers and sisters? Well, we don't need testimonies and stories right now. Do you think that Jesus' family was all so saintly and holy that nothing that they ever did would bother him? Do you think that Mary never said, "Jesus, take care of your brother," at a point where he was doing something else and was thinking, "Why me? Why always me?" No, actually, how many of you have ever said, "Why always me?" How many of you have ever said that? Okay. Of course, if you're smart, you'll think it, but you won't say it. I don't think Jesus ever said it. And somehow, Jesus, as a boy, do you realize Jesus was a boy? Jesus had the grace of God with him to take care of his younger brothers and sisters. You know, he could have said to Mary, "Listen, Mary." Do you know who I am? Do you know that her son was her creator? But the Bible tells us that he lived a life in subjection to his parents. Can you imagine the God boy, not God man yet, right? The God boy saying, "Yes, mother. Okay, dad. Jesus, come here, help me." You know, he was a carpenter. "Come here, hold this up." You don't think Jesus ever had to, "Coming, dad." And okay, well, his dad, boom, boom, boom. You don't think his little brothers and sisters ever borrowed something of his without asking? Now, here's the point. When you experience that, do you ever contact and experience the Spirit of Jesus? Or do you just get mad? You just get annoyed. Is that your habit? Is your first reaction to get annoyed? Or is your first reaction to say, "Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thou art the Spirit." Because if at that moment you would say, and you don't have to say it out loud, and don't say, "Lord Jesus." Don't call that way. Don't call at people. That's not with a pure heart, so I don't think it really works. But do you realize that at that moment, you have an opportunity to experience the Spirit of Jesus? The Gospels, another fact you may or may not know, has 89 chapters. In the four books. Most of the Gospels deal with his life from 30 years old until his death, resurrection, and ascension. So he's about 33 and a half. So most of the Gospels, actually 86 and a half chapters of the 89, deal with Jesus as a man from 30 to 33 and a half. And then ascending. 2 1/4 chapters deal with Jesus as a baby. That leaves a quarter of a chapter. So let me give you this timeline. I don't like writing on this board because it's really hard to erase, but I'm going to do this anyway. Okay. So, when Jesus was born, or incarnated, this part of his life, 2.5 chapters. And then, silence, nothing. And then, well, I guess it should be more. Let's do like this. Most of the chapters deal with until he's from 30 years old, to 33 and a half. He was crucified at 33 and a half. And this is 86.5. Actually, this should be 2.25. Did I do that right? 88.75, yeah. Do you know that there's There are 13 verses in the book of Luke, chapter 2, that talk about one three-day experience. Right here. A quarter of a chapter. And this is when he was 12 years old. I think that's just amazing that he would give us one testimony. And do you know what it's a testimony of? Being misunderstood by his parents. How many of you, at least one time in your life, have felt that you were misunderstood by your parents? At least one time. You can put your hand down now. She was like, hope your mom's not here. And the story's there. And how many of you know the story? Know what I'm talking about? How many of you are familiar with the story? Okay. We're not going to get into all the details. In the group time tomorrow, I really encourage you, read this story with your group if they don't all know it. Luke chapter 2, verses like 39 to 52, something like that, 51, 52. He's 12. He goes with them, maybe for the first time, because that 12 is the coming of age. And with the Jews. And then he gets to go to the feasts, one of the feasts. They would go three times a year up to the feast. And then the whole company of people, including Mary and Joseph, they leave. Everybody leaves town. And it says, after one day, they realize, where's Jesus? I'm thinking, Mary, it took you a day? It took you a whole day. Now, you know, let's sympathize, okay? She probably, you know, she had 7 kids. You know what that tells me? That tells me they trusted Jesus very much. And he was probably very responsible because they did. You know, if you have a kid that gets in trouble a lot, you're like, where is he? Where is he? What's he up to now? But they just... So after a day, they realize, oh, now they have to turn around and go back about one day. And then it said they took a day to look around. Then they found him. Where? In the temple. And it says that he was answering and asking questions. Answering. Take a look. And then they come and say, Jesus, why have you done this to us? And he says, why were you looking for me? You know, when I read that when I was younger, I thought it was like this, like, why are you looking for me? I thought, oh, Jesus, I don't like your attitude here. But later I realized, I was so far off. The point is, why were you looking? Why didn't you come here first? Don't you know me by now? Where else would I be, Mom? I'm in the temple, taking care of the things of my father. I really think that Mary felt, of course, my bad. Don't write that down. I don't think she said those words. Don't write that down. I'm talking about the feeling. You understand? Because then it says, She hid all these things in her heart. And she really understood later just who this was. And then, and this is really my point, then it says, and he went down with them in subjection. He went down with them in subjection. It's very interesting. It uses the word down. Now, physically, they had to go down because they were in Jerusalem, so it's down. It's a mountain. Not actually not that big a mountain, but anyway, down. Mount Zion. But he went down in subjection, not just in obedience, in subjection. Do you know what that means? Do you know what difference is? When if your dad says, come home by what time? Okay. And you come by that time, but you're not happy about it. That's obedience. You're not subjecting yourself to your authority. But if you say, okay, Dad, and you do it respectfully and happily, you realize that's what he said, that's what I got to do. Then you're subject to them. Jesus did that. Now, here's the point. Jesus did that 2,000 years ago. What's that got to do with you? What's got to do with you is that there is such a thing as the Spirit of Jesus. And he's inside of you. And so everything he is, everything he did, everything he can do, actually, he can do it again in you as the Spirit. And I think that is pretty cool. Jesus was limited. Jesus was betrayed by some of his closest friends. I don't need a show of hands, but I wonder whether you ever felt betrayed and what your feeling is. So he was betrayed by Judas, and then he was let down by just about everybody else. Abandoned. I wonder if you ever felt like, where are they now? You know, when you feel that way, you say, oh Lord Jesus. And he will strengthen you to go through that experience. That's the Spirit of Jesus. Now, sometimes we experience the Spirit of Christ. What is that? Actually, let's look in your memory verses. Look in the outline. Let's see, page 4. Page 4. On the bottom, you see Romans 8, 9 through 11. Romans 8, 9 through 11. Are you with me? Yeah. You have it? Let's read these three verses together. Romans 8, 9 through 11. It's on the bottom of page 4 in your outlines. Go.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, yet if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is
here we have the revelation of the Spirit of Christ in verse 9. And it's connected in verse 11 with resurrection. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body. I tell you, there is no suffering that's bigger than death. and the Lord Jesus. He went through that, and he conquered death. Sometimes the things we go through, don't they seem sometimes to kind of be putting you under? Something with school, something with your family, and the things just come, something with your friends, and you just feel like you're down. I wonder, what do you do when you're down? Do you eat more?
Ice cream.
Ice cream, yeah. That's what I was thinking, actually. You know, some people, when they're down, they just go to the fridge. You don't bother to take out a bowl, and you just take... Some people go to the movies. Yeah, some people just want to sleep, just sleep. Some people binge watch. Just go to Netflix and just to forget. That may help you some, temporarily. But I tell you, do you want to be uplifted? You can. You can touch a supply of resurrection. Because right now, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is in your spirit. So I want to encourage you, next time, how about experiment? Oh, Lord Jesus. When you're in the middle of it, when you're right in the middle, when people are still adding more, and you're going downer and downer, instead of reacting, instead of going to another source for some supply, how about try? Oh, Lord Jesus. I think some of us could give testimonies that there was something there that kept me going. It doesn't mean that you suddenly feel all powerful. I think sometimes we get this kind of a view or a concept of what it means to experience resurrection. Don't do that. Don't play. Don't play. Sit up straight. And you need to stop the talking in this area right here. Okay? Yeah. Sometimes you may have a concept of being like a something super. But actually, that supply of resurrection gives you hope. Gives you hope. You can go on. You can make it. You can make it. Everyone needs hope. You know, I graduated from my master's degree from New York University, NYU. And not that long ago, there were a string of suicides on that campus. That campus was never known for that. I went to have some appointments with some students recently there. When I went there, there's a library, the main library on campus. I don't know if any of you have ever, New York Saints, have you ever been to Bob's Library at Washington Square? And when you go there, there's a big opening, and there are balconies all the way around going up to maybe 11th or 12th. And now, all the balconies have rails. And they do it in a very nice aesthetic, is that the right word, way. But when I saw that, I remembered, I know why they did that. Because some years ago, some kids took their lives. One of them was a freshman. How could you get to that point as an 18-year-old with your whole life ahead of you, that this is the only solution? Oh, the whole campus was affected. And so within, I think it was a month later, another person did the same thing because they got it in their head from the first one. Dear saints, my young brothers and sisters, never contemplate this as a solution. Many, many young people get that thought. I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you. But I know that many young people, and I'm sorry to say, it seems more females than males. From my study. Girls, don't entertain that thought. That is from Satan. There's hope. There's always hope. There's hope in the resurrection life inside of you. But if you would ever get to that point, find someone that you trust. Find someone. Find someone that you can talk to. You may not really believe it in your heart, but I am telling you, we are here for you. Amen. And there are people around you who love you. Never, never allow that thought to take root in your heart. But I have to say, over the last 30 years, the suicide rate in the United States is just growing. And especially among college age. You have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Spirit that can bring you up out of all those things that bring you down. Let's go right back to the outline. Romans 2. Romans 2. Let's read this. Exodus 30 shows a marvelous picture. I'm going to leave, actually, the rest of this outline for you to study in your group time for tomorrow morning. I want to just mention this because I want to give you time for your sharing. So I'm going to take maybe another 6 or 7 minutes, and I want to give you at least 15 minutes for your sharing and response. Okay. You can consider this and even take some notes over this. In the Bible, God gives us many pictures, so that we can understand things. And for us to understand the Spirit, He's given us at least 3 pictures. Now, who can think of, in the Bible, one picture that's used to symbolize the Spirit? Actually, there's quite a number. Say? A dove. That's right. That's from Matthew chapter 3. And that shows us that the Spirit is something very peaceful and pure. Don't think that the experience of the Spirit is like, well, wait till we get to the message on the sevenfold intensified Spirit. Maybe we'll talk about that. That's tomorrow's lesson. Tonight, we're talking about a dove. What else?
The day of Pentecost.
Yeah. What's the picture of the Spirit? You're right.
The Spirit flooded the crowd and they spoke in tongues.
And yeah, the Somebody add to that. What is it? The picture. Fire, fire. Yes, the fire. The tongues were tongues of fire. So do you know the Spirit is pictured as a fire? Again, that's when we get to the sevenfold intensified Spirit. Say what? Wind. Oh, the Spirit is pictured as wind. Wind is strong. Wind brings energy. And that's connected also with yours. The Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind, and they spoke, and over their head was tongues of fire. What else? Another picture. Wow. That's really sophisticated. Somebody else, actually, within the, that is a real picture of the entire triune God. And the sap within the tree is a picture of the Spirit. Somebody else, another picture?
The breath. Because if you
the what?
2020, and he breathed himself into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Right. And that word Holy Spirit could be translated as holy breath. And actually, this is the one I was looking for. Thank you, Larry. Do you know the Spirit is pictured as breath? Do you realize, and I don't think you've been realizing or thinking about it until I say it, I haven't said it yet, but I'm going to say it now, and you're going to start thinking about it, breathing. Now, you've been contacting the air as you're sitting there taking your notes. You haven't been thinking about it, but you're just naturally breathing. And do you know the Spirit is pictured as air? Which means wherever you are, He is. And He's so easy to take in. What else is the Spirit pictured as? One more. I'm looking for one more. Huh? Oil, that's going to be the last one. And water. Okay, that's what I was looking for. Air, water, and oil. Water, the Spirit is pictured as water. How many of you today have drunk water?
Amen.
How many more than once? Twice? Three? Four? 25? Like all day long? I mean, me here, I tell you, let's read this. You know why I'm saying that? So I can. We can't live without air, and we can't live without water. And that's exactly the picture that God makes of the Spirit.
Amen.
So easy to receive. You don't have to understand much. You just take them in. But also as oil. As actually, not first as oil, and then as an ointment. What's the difference? The difference here is that it's the oil with stuff in it. And it's mingled. And when you get the oil, you get all the stuff. So today, when you breathe the Lord, when you drink Him, just by calling, sometimes we breathe Him by, we breathe Him by singing. When we sing, we're breathing Him, we're drinking Him, it's so easy to take Him in. But do you realize that when you get Him, you get all the stuff. You get the Spirit of Jesus to supply you to be a big brother and sister. Yeah. Supply you to be a good son and daughter. To be a proper student. To be a proper citizen. Supply you to bring you up out of the depressing situation. So when we call on Him, we get everything. Amen?
Amen.
How about we do this? Let's pray again. This time, how about let's pray two by two or three by three with the ones around us. Let's just pray for a minute. And then we're going to have a time for your sharing. We'll have 15 minutes for your sharing.
Praise the Lord, saints. Lord, this is a great time to be with you and gain the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I was like on vacation for over a month, and then like when I couldn't go to church for all the Sundays I was out, we prayed. We had our own meeting just to gain the Spirit.
Amen.
Because we want to gain the Spirit and use it for the rest of our life.
Amen.
We want to take your stuff, your material. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Spirit is now compounded. So God in eternity past, there was no Christ humanity or resurrection in the Spirit. But because God became a man in time, we can touch the Spirit of Jesus in our spirit.
I enjoy the aspect that the Spirit is like air, and sometimes we forget that we're breathing sometimes, but it's just such a natural process. And I feel like sometimes I force myself to do things like, oh, I have to do more Bible, I have to read the Bible, but it's not out of like love, but it's more like out of duty. But it's like breathing air is just so natural, and we do it every day. And sometimes like you feel like when you touch the Lord, you want a momentous like, you know, feeling or like explosion to happen, but like breathing is such an everyday like practical thing, and so when we turn to the Lord, it should be like an everyday daily like touching of him. So
amen. It's really amazing that we can take the Lord in anytime, whenever we want. It really reminds me of this stanza in one of the songs: now the Lord is the living air.
Amen.
You can breathe him in anywhere.
Amen.
Any time of day, whenever you please. Amen. He's made it really easy. Oh, Lord, amen. Let's sing it again.
Amen. Sometimes I was sad, and then I called, oh Lord Jesus, and then he comforted me, because he's a comforter.
Amen.
And I'm glad that he's a comforter, because he can comfort me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Spirit is so available.
Amen.
The Spirit is available to us.
Amen.
I really enjoy this aspect that the Spirit in the Bible is portrayed in many ways.
Amen.
And one of the ways that it is portrayed is that it is a dove, right? And dove is something that's very gentle. And we have this hymn in our hymnal, right? Oh, gentle breeze of love, right? So in my personal testimony is that in college, I was going through a personal like difficulty. And actually, through that situation, there was a turning, an opportunity for me to turn to the Lord. And I really got to experience the Lord as this gentle breeze of love, as the Spirit, right? And so I was just enjoyed by this fact that the Spirit can give us hope whenever we're going through personal difficulties in our lives. And this Spirit will supply us. It's not like what we think, you know, we're not gonna be like Superman, but actually the Spirit will supply us just enough so that we get through the situation just enough. And the Lord is just so wonderful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord as the Lord is the Spirit. He is the all-inclusive Christ as the Spirit.
Amen.
While Brother Ricky was talking, I was remembering Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. Right? This perfect, sinless person is now living inside of us. You know, we aren't perfect. We all know that. And there are a lot of times where, you know, it's just like everything is you know, crazy, and you don't really, you feel like, you know, by ourselves, we can't do it. So, but we have this person inside of us who can. So all we have to do is just turn to him. Amen.
Right. Oh Lord, thou art the Spirit. How dear and near to me. How I admire thy marvelous availability.
Amen.
Just so enjoyed tonight to see and to be able to admire the Spirit in all of the his aspects.
Amen.
That he is the living air and he is our breath that we can, it's so easy to touch him. And now after we admire all his different aspects, then we can enjoy him. Amen.
Amen. I just know from personal experience, and it's easy as young people, that Satan gets to us through our mind, and he's always shooting arrows at us. And Jesus was 100% man, as well as 100% God. So he had a mind, will, and emotion all his own, and Satan attacked him, just like all of us. And while, I mean, it's not easy. Easily we take these thoughts as our own and we keep thinking about them and they can overwhelm us. But praise God, we have his life in us.
Amen.
And just like him, we can turn away.
Amen.
And praise the Lord for the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
Who is in our spirit.
Amen.
To wait to live a God-man life is not through our own strength. We shouldn't try to force ourselves to read the Bible or just to spend time with him, because I have tried that, but I have failed. I can't do it consecutively, and I can't do it every day. So the way to do it is to turn to our spirit.
Amen.
For in their spirit is the all-inclusive compound spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So yesterday, we were about to leave for the Summer School of Truth, and I was looking everywhere, and I swore I packed everything, but I couldn't find my cell phone. And I was just praying, oh Lord Jesus, we need to leave on time. I need to find my cell phone because I need it to, you know, like contact like my parents. And so I was getting really worried and I was like, Lord, just please let me find my cell phone. And a couple of minutes passed and we still hadn't found it. We were going to be late. I was really worried. And then my brother, who's here by the way, he's like, oh, I wonder what this is. Look, I found your cell phone. And he had hidden it. He had hidden it from me, and he had been like quietly waiting all this time for me to get like really desperate. And I heard him, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, he is so dead." But then I remembered my prayer before. I had said, you know, "Oh Lord Jesus, I just want to find my cell phone." And I mean, he showed it to me, and so I guess this was. This kind of taught me how to like reach to the spirit of Jesus who is inside me, because like he must have been annoyed by things before, but I was able to calm down. And also, I guess God works in mysterious ways. So.
For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. Sometimes like I fail to realize how vast God is, and like the brother Roger said, he's all around us and his spirit is always with us. And so whenever we just want to contact him, we just need to turn to God.
Amen.
And so every day we need to have this sense that God is always here, even in the midst of us right now. And that if we just turn to him, we can feel him in our spirit.
Amen.
So generally, I'm a happy person, except if something makes me angry, it usually lasts longer than usual. And so we sometimes take the spirit of Christ for granted, and that we need to tap into it to make us feel happy. And we need to admire and appreciate that the Lord gave us this spirit of Christ.
Amen.
I liked how the spirit could be like a dove, all innocent and gentle, because sometimes we're in our flesh, and the flesh is harmful, it's hatred, it's nothing really that God really loves, it's everything that God really hates. But when we get into our spirit, we ourselves become more loving and gentle and closer to God, which helps us a lot.
Amen.
Saints, I was really touched by the spirit of resurrection. That's our Christ, which, you know, just as Christ was lifted, we can also be lifted in resurrection. And I have a testimony regarding, same with a brother. I went to Polytech university to study engineering, and eventually NYU acquired the school, and it got to a degree where NYU suicide rates were so high that they had to give us psychology before the merger happened. And eventually at some point they started nailing all the windows together. You couldn't open a window anymore on a hot day because they were scared that that would influence our school. And to be honest, school was tough. After the first, every semester, half and half and half of all my classmates would remain, right, until it was maybe a tenth of whatever. I guess the program was difficult. So to be honest, the way it touched me was that the saints, you really should depend on the serving ones. I remember that it was tough. After I graduated, I thought I got the dream job, and I thought I had the dream girl, but it wasn't the case. I believe I found out through the saints that it wasn't the Lord's arrangement. And eventually I was touched when I graduated that sister told me, oh great, we've been praying for you. So in the background, you may not know, but the serving ones are praying for you. And that praying is just them being one with God in the altar, the golden altar, being one with his administration so that he can carry you. All of us are here. I remember last week training we had regarding shepherding. We're all here because someone prayed for us. So finally I wanted to say, God has an arrangement, and guess what? I didn't have that girl, I didn't have that job, but I have a job now that understands that I want to go to a meeting, they'll give me the time off, I have the wife, you know, the Lord has an arrangement. He gave me a beautiful wife that loves the Lord, so I'll tell you this, the Lord has an arrangement. Sometimes we have our own, but we have to just give ourselves to the Lord, and the saints are there, turn to them, they're praying for you, and we all come to us, really, do. You don't have no need to be in the worst situation, but you can sometimes receive that life from others as the medium. Amen.
I was especially touched by the spirit, the aspect of the spirit about resurrection life. We can have hope in him through the spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just have hope in you that your kingdom will come, your will be done.
Amen. Amen. So many times I've been, you know, going on a trip somewhere and if only I had this, if only I had that, but I don't have that. And if I didn't have those, I forgot my cell phone somewhere. I can't just say, oh, if only I had my cell phone, I could have called my sister or something, but I didn't have my cell phone. But how convenient, oh, how accessible is the Lord? We can just call to the Lord and he'll always be there.
I really enjoy the aspect of the Spirit being all-inclusive and compound, specifically that the Spirit contains the resurrection power of Christ. So that means that whenever we feel dead in the meeting, all we need to do is turn to our spirit. Amen. And in this spirit, it brings us out of death. Amen. That means we only need three words. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. I even had an experience in my Christian life where I felt dead in the meetings for like 6 months straight. And the only thing I could do was just call on the Lord. And this was the only thing I could do to bring myself out of death. And eventually the Lord broke through. And I can testify that in our spirit is the resurrection power of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord for the all-inclusive compound spirit.
Amen. Let's follow our brother sharing. And let's call on the name of the Lord three times together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And then now let's declare the chorus of that hymn we sang earlier. I think we know it by memory now, but let's declare it now with feeling. Oh, Lord, thou art the Spirit. How dear and near to me. How I admire thy marvelous availability. Amen. Thou art the Spirit. Amen. How we admire. I think we admire, we appreciate a lot more. Now we can also enjoy. Amen. We're here in these 10 days, we're here to enjoy. Amen. Actually, if you're here for 10 days, you need to enjoy. And the best way to enjoy is just to call on his name. So maybe really practice this throughout this week. Okay, the announcements for tonight. The group assigned to take care of both breakfast and lunch service for tomorrow will be Intensify. 12th grade brothers, intensify. Please report to Mary and Priscilla 5 minutes before each meal. So report at 7:40 a.m. for breakfast and 12:10 p.m. for lunch in the front of the cafeteria. So that's over there. All right, quiet please, quiet please. There's a few more announcements. This is important. First aid is in this building, Building A, upstairs above the bookstore. So that means that you have to go through those doors, and then there's another set of doors across the hallway that leads to the bookstores. Before you go into the bookstores, there's a stairways that lead up. I think if you came here last night, many of you left your luggage upstairs. So that's where first aid will be. First aid will not be given during group or meeting time unless it is an emergency. Contact your serving one and come to registration with the serving one. So if you need this during the group or meeting time, find the serving one that you can go with. No one should just be going by themselves among the young people. Roll call tonight is at 9:45 p.m. So that's about 45 minutes from now. Everyone needs to be in the room at 9:45. House coordinators, turn in your sheets to registration tomorrow. Did you catch that? And stay in the room. Okay. Remember, the AC is for nighttime use only. Wow, some of you have AC in your rooms, huh? Very good, very good. But it's for nighttime use only. Please do not leave the AC on all night. Once the room is cool, turn the AC off, and you can switch the unit to fan. Also, remember to turn off. This is important. Turn off all the units and the lights when you are the last one leaving your room. Please remember to take care of this. It's terrible to leave it on when you're not using it. You are allowed to get up before 7 a.m., but please be mindful of the other room occupants. We encourage you all to get as much rest as possible. There's no ball playing before breakfast. If you do not know your housing, please come to the registration. That'll be right outside these doors. Serving ones, if you have undistributed folders, please return them to registration. And the last announcement is that there is a snack today in the cafeteria right after the meeting. And then for the serving ones, we'll be meeting again tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. And that'll be in this room. So for the serving ones and TAs. Okay. Is there anything else? Okay, we can be dismissed then.